tonight. Amen.
The wrong reading.
Oh.
But never mind. That was totally my fault.
It was a good reading, though.
Oh, yeah. Well, it was supposed to be from a little bit before that, so apologies to that. I will refer to it later, but never mind. Let go and let God. That's what it says. That's what we're doing tonight. Psalm 25 says, this is verse 4 and 5, make me to know your ways, O Lord. Teach me your paths. Lead me in your truth and teach me. For you are the God of my salvation. For you I wait all day long. And that was on a little Bible thing I had this morning. And it's a verse that I chose to have at the end of today. And I just thought, I'm going to start with that as well. Because God's just saying to me, look, trust me for the future. So, guidance. Wouldn't it be great if we had a little app on our phone or a little telephone call every morning that said, today, this is what I want you to do. Wouldn't it be really, really good if something came up on your phone every morning and said, today, this is your task and this is what I want you to do. I have heard of somebody who said they wouldn't get out of bed until God told them what to do, going a little bit far, I think. But in these days, we like lots of things to be instant, don't we? We have instant coffee, instant perhaps replies to your texts is what you expect, lots of other... Can I just move that?
Have you got your... Yeah. Won't make a difference.
Am I better now? Yeah. Right, let's get that out of the way. Sorry, that's putting me off. Instant, replies there. We want to hear from God now often, don't we? We don't want to wait. And that's not always easy, is it? Because it takes a bit of time and a bit of discipline to build a relationship with God. We have to learn to listen to what he's saying to us. We have to learn when it's God's guidance guiding us the way forward and when it's our own feelings, because I'm sure lots of times there's things that we want to just do for ourselves. In the passage we didn't read in Exodus, but I'm going to read now, is still from Exodus 33. It's a little bit before that. I'm going to read to you from verse 7, because that's what I actually intended at the beginning. Now Moses used to take a tent and pitch it outside the camp, some distance away, and he called it the tent of the meeting. Anyone inquiring of the Lord would go to the tent of meeting outside the camp. And whenever Moses went out to the tent, all the people rose, stood at the entrance to their tents, watching Moses as he entered the tent. As Moses went into the tent, the pillar of cloud would come down, stay at the entrance while the Lord spoke with Moses. Whenever the people saw the pillar of cloud standing at the entrance to the tent, they all stood and worshipped, each at the entrance to their own tent. The Lord would speak to Moses face to face, as a man speaks to his friend. Then Moses would return to the camp, but his young assistant Joshua, son of Nun, did not leave the tent. It'd be quite nice to have a little tent of meeting, wouldn't it, where we go when we want to hear from the Lord. Moses had this tent, but he was going on behalf of the people. But just notice at the end of that reading, Joshua stayed a little bit longer. Now, Joshua was a young man at this time. He was a young man who'd risen to quite high ranks. He was an assistant to Moses, and he realised, even at that young age, the importance of spending time with God. He loved God, and he needed and realised that he needed to spend time with him. And all throughout the Old Testament, and there are lots of examples, I'm just going to do a few, there's examples of God leading his people, and his people deciding that they knew a better way and going their own way. So God directs Moses and his brother Aaron to lead the Israelites out of Egypt. He appears to Moses, first of all, in the burning bush in Exodus chapter 3. And Moses is informed by God that he's standing on holy ground and he must remove his sandals before he can talk to God. And it was an act of reverence that he was doing, which conveyed his own unworthiness before God. God is our friend, but he's also our sovereign Lord. And I think sometimes we do forget that, and we need to realise that we need to approach him with reverence and respect. We need to come as an invited guest before the king. And at times, like Moses, we perhaps need to just adjust our thinking a little bit. Have we taken our sandals off? Do we realise that we're standing perhaps in reverence, Do we realise how inadequate we are for the job that God has asked us to do, as Moses felt inadequate as well? Perhaps we sometimes ask God for the guidance, or do we always seek God for guidance? I imagine for everybody, it's a little bit in the middle. We do ask God, but often we decide we'll have a go ourselves, and then we'll ask God. And then when we've asked him, we think, why didn't I do that in the first place? Why did I go on my own way? Sometimes we think that we're going to ask God for guidance, and he's going to ask us to do something really outrageous, and we don't want to do that. We're a bit afraid. Sometimes we doubt what God is actually saying to us. What is he really saying? I've got a picture at home. It says, if God leads you to it, then he will lead you through it. So you just have to trust, because he will. If he asks you to do something, he's not going to leave you to do it on your own, which I'm quite glad of tonight. We have to remember that God does things in his time, and that isn't always our time. God has his own way of dealing with situations that aren't always our ways. Moses couldn't understand why all the things happened, but God knew what his plan was. Sometimes we just don't understand why things happen the way they do. And I think when we get to heaven, we'll all have lots of questions that we want to ask God about why things happen the way they did. Because God has a bigger plan, he sees a bigger picture than we do. So, back to the Israelites. They were led out of Egypt as a people, as God's people, his people. A sense of togetherness. There was a lot of them, and they were being led by the Holy Spirit. But in Exodus 13, we are told the way that God didn't lead them. He said he didn't lead them through the Philistine country, even though that was going to be a shorter route for them. And I'm sure lots of us would like a shorter route at times. But he didn't lead them that way because he realised that they would be in danger. They probably would be attacked, and then they would perhaps decide Egypt was a better prospect than actually leaving Egypt. Instead, God leads them a different way, round by the desert road towards the Red Sea. And during this time, God led them with a pillar of cloud by day and a pillar of fire by night. It meant they could travel during the day or at night, whatever they chose. And the pillars were there in front leading the people. But God had also chosen somebody to lead them, Moses. And Moses was a person who you think, you know, strong man leading all these people. And he often cried out to the Lord for the people. But he also tried to instill in those people that they must follow God's leading. They needed to follow God. They needed to worship him as their one and only God, to have no other gods before him. They needed to follow the commands that God had given them, to trust that God knew best for them. Might have seemed that he didn't, but he did, and that's where Moses went. But when we get to Exodus 20, we find that the people are afraid of talking to God. And they say, look, Moses, you're going to have to talk to God, because if we do, we're going to die. They're afraid of God. In verse 18 of chapter 20, it says that the people had seen thunder and lightning, saw the mountain smoke, and they trembled with fear. That's when they said, speak to us yourself and we'll listen, but not, don't make us go and talk to God. But God wanted to show them his power and his authority. He wasn't trying to scare them with all the thunder and lightning. He wanted them to know that he was the true God and worth following. But they would need to obey him. God still guides and leads them. He promises them a land, doesn't he, of milk and honey, but they're impatient. Who does that sound like? And everything, it seems to be happening too slow or too much of a problem. They moan, they get disobedient. But God says, no, look, follow. This is my way. And no matter how many other ways they tried to go, God still went with them. He still regularly reminded them about who he was. They'd escaped Egypt. They were a travelling people. Surely this was the time they needed to trust God. They were a people without a home. Yet they were still disobedient. They still, you know, God had done all that for them, and they were still not quite sure whether I want to do what God says or not, even knowing what he'd already done for them. During this time, Moses just constantly seeks God. And on the passage in that I did want to read in Exodus 33 that I read to you, Moses is seeking God on behalf of the people. He goes to that special tent with the pillar of cloud. He goes there to seek what the Lord wants. And notice what the other people were doing. What were they doing? They were worshipping God. While Moses was speaking, they were worshipping. They were supporting Moses. And Moses is continuing to seek the Lord. So carrying on in the Old Testament, the people decide, well, we're a bit fed up with following God. We'll have a king instead, please. And it's in 1 Samuel chapter 8, and verse 5, the elders approach Samuel. Say, you are old, your sons do not follow your ways. Now appoint a king to lead us, such as other nations have. They wanted what other people had. They thought that was the right way forward. They didn't seek God. They thought that's what he wanted. And Samuel wasn't happy about it, and he prays about the situation. God just says to Samuel, look, you haven't been rejected, I have. The people are rejecting me, God, as their king. They've forgotten all the things that have gone on. So God says, okay, you can have a king. It's not right for you, but if that's what you want, I'm going to give it to you. And it doesn't work out well for them. Because the people just say, we don't want to worship God. We want a king to rule over us. And I wonder if at the time if they really thought about the fact they already had a king. They had God. But they wanted somebody physical that they could see. They wanted what everybody else had. They chose a different way and they did suffer the consequences. But God is a really patient God, isn't he? Just as well. He doesn't reject us. And he didn't reject his people at that time. They had to wait. They had to wait. They had to wait, and they went through a lot of things. They went into exile, they came back, and then they waited for the Messiah, for Jesus to come and save them, to teach them how to live. They waited for this great Savior. They waited for this deliverer that the prophets had promised, someone who was going to set them free from Roman rule. Many waited for this Savior, and Jesus arrives in a stable, a baby. I don't think it was what they were expecting. And the Gospels are full of Jesus and his examples of how we should live. And during his ministry, Jesus spent a lot of time alone with his Father. A lot of time, he realized the importance of spending time with his Father, seeking guidance. And he also spent a lot of time with his disciples, just teaching them how to live. He spent a lot of time traveling, performing miracles, showing them how to live. He was healing, teaching, leading and guiding, astonishing those around him. He cared about ordinary people in ordinary situations, and he cares about you and me, ordinary people in ordinary situations. So when Jesus knew it was the time to die and to go on the cross, he told the disciples that although he was going to leave them physically, he was going to leave them with a helper, a counselor, a comforter. All those words that encompass the Holy Spirit. He was going to be their guide to lead them through life. But only if they were willing. The Holy Spirit's there, but we have to be willing. We have to be willing to let go of our own will and submit to God's will. And when we're willing to do that, that's when God guides us. When we truly seek the way forward, this can be a time for other spiritual disciplines that we've looked at to come into play as well. In Acts 13, the church in Antioch were praying and fasting because they were seeking the way forward. While they were doing this, the Lord spoke to them and told them to set apart Saul and Barnabas for a special work that God had called them to do. So they prayed and fasted, and then they prayed with Saul and Barnabas and sent them off. The other spiritual disciplines coming into play as with the guidance. So often it's important that we seek guidance with others. We look for the way forward together. Is this something we could follow? To be genuinely together, seeking God's way forward. a willingness to submit, a willingness to seek together as God's people in unity. Not always easy. It means perhaps living in God's rhythm and not our own. And it's a discipline for us, I think, to put ourselves in line with what God wants for our lives. Because it's not always easy. It's not always what we want to do. He can take us out of our comfort zone. Originally in Acts 4, the believers were in one in heart and mind. They lived together, didn't they? They shared together. They had a lot in common. Today, we live much more separate lives. We've all got our own houses. We come together, and then that's a good time to come together to pray together. It's a discipline for us to come together, though, isn't it? A discipline to come to church on Sunday, to come to the prayer meeting, perhaps. It's all a discipline for us. But when we come together, like those first disciples, I like this phrase, and I found it said, we can be a fiery band of witnesses together. I thought, God, wow, that's a really good phrase. Do we want to be a fiery band of witnesses for the Lord? Thank you. So we need to incorporate lots of disciplines when we seek God's guidance. Notice that the disciples prayed, they worshipped, and they fasted to hear God speaking to them. And he did. And they did some of the other things. They included worship, prayer, fasting, confession, and submission. Some of the other disciplines that we've already looked at. Of course, sometimes when we seek guidance together, it can be a danger, perhaps. A danger of a strong personality taking us all along with them down the wrong route. We need to be willing to listen to one another. But God's guidance doesn't mean that we crush the weakest person. It means we move forward together in unity. We might not all agree on something, but when we do, we feel a peace about the way forward. Sometimes we don't move forward because of prejudice or fear. That can be on our own or together. Perhaps we're worried about something. We're human after all. But we mustn't be too hard on ourselves. In Ephesians 4:32, it tells us, be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other, just as Christ forgave you. So how does this relate to us? It was a whistle-stop tour through the Bible. Well, we need to begin with small steps when we're seeking God's guidance. And if we're doing it together, perhaps just spending some time together, getting to know one another, building that trust. That means you can trust one another and we can be a supportive community together. It's important that we're ready to submit to God's will. And we may need to wait patiently for God's answer. Sometimes he says yes, sometimes he says no, sometimes he says that horrible wait. We don't always want to do it, but sometimes that's just the answer he's giving us. And we go, well, I don't want to wait. It's like waiting for a bus, isn't it? We don't want to wait. We want one to come along now. Not three in about 10 minutes' time. We want it now. So that's our discipline, to wait. Wait on the Lord. The guidance of God might not always be specific for us, but within his general will. In the book, I don't know if anybody has been reading the book, the Richard Foster book that we've been following, there's a quote about guidance. It says, guidance is the most radical of the disciplines because it goes to the heart of this matter of walking with God. Guidance means the glorious life of hearing God's voice and obeying his word. He also says, the will of God is discovered as we become acquainted with God, learn his ways and become his friends. As we develop the fruit of the Spirit in our life, as our friendship grows, with God and with one another, we will instinctively know what actions will please him. Of course, sometimes there's ways to test these things, and it's important if you think you're hearing something for God to test it. We might think of fleeces or dreams, visions, signs, confirmation from others that we're going the right way. In 1 John 4, we're told to test the spirits to see if they're from God. We'll ask him, is this from you, Lord? Does it fit in your will, what I'm asking? So when we're thinking about that and the way forward, first of all, does it fit in with Scripture as you look for guidance? Psalm 119, verse 105 says, "Your word is a lamp for my feet and a light for my path." And we're also told, "Your laws are both my light and my counsellors." So when you're looking for the way forward and a bit of guidance, does it fit with what God's word says? Does it fit in with what you know about Jesus? Are you recognising his voice? Because there's many, many voices that will vie for your attention in this world. Well, we can only do it when we actually spend time with him. That is the discipline. Spend time with Jesus. And there'll be lots of things that will try to drag you away from that. Sometimes God might speak to us as we pray, as he did the disciples in Acts 13. Sometimes you may get a picture in your mind. Test God. Test it. Just see and ask God, is this from you? What are you trying to say to me? So the decision you're making, is it a loving decision? Is it a strengthening and encouraging decision? Do you feel at peace about it? Sometimes God gives us a strong desire to do something. Sometimes we have a strong desire not to do something as well. But God does change his mind. When I was reading the Alpha book of Nicky Gumbel, all about guidance, it's an interesting thing in there that he says when he became a Christian, the very last thing he wanted to do was to become a vicar in the Church of England. And that's exactly what he became. But only because God changed him from the inside. God changed that desire in him, and he loves his job. And that's what God made in him, a desire to do that job, because that's what God wanted him to do. So sometimes God works on the desires and changes your desires so you want to do something else. You have to be willing to think about, what does God want me to do? Sometimes God just speaks to us in more unusual ways, perhaps through a dream or a vision or an angel. He did with many people in the Bible, including Abraham and Joseph. And Peter was spoken to by an angel when he was rescued from prison. God spoke to the people through prophets. Sometimes he used visions. And he spoke to Paul in a vision when he spoke to the man from Macedonia saying, in a dream, saying, "Come over and help us." And off he went to Macedonia. Another way that God guides us is through common sense. Is it a good thing to do? God's not going to tell you to go jaywalking or anything silly like that. Does it make sense? You know, is it a sensible thing? Don't be that person who doesn't get up in the morning until they're waiting for God to see what colour socks God's going to tell you to put on. That's not sensible. Think about, does it make sense? Is it common sense? And sometimes God guides us through other people. So if you're looking for guidance, have you prayed with some others who you trust? Not just the ones you get along with who you know are going to tell you the right answer, but people that you respect, people who are going to be honest with you. Somebody who's got some spiritual authority and will help you seek the Lord. Finally, just remember, God's in control. Proverbs 16 verse 9 tells us, "In his heart a man plans his course, but the Lord determines his steps." Sometimes God's going to open doors for you, and sometimes you're going to see them firmly shut. Sometimes you may be disappointed because it's something you really want to do. But trust God, because he often has something better for you. Don't be in a hurry. Sometimes God's asked us to do things, or he tells us the right thing, but it's not the right time. Trust God. If he's put a desire in your heart, then he'll normally move forward with that. In Hebrews 6, verse 15, it says, "And so, after waiting patiently, Abraham received what was promised. He had to wait till he was quite old for the son and for the promise of the many descendants and God's blessing." There are plenty of verses telling us to just wait. Wait on the Lord. Now, guidance, it isn't an easy discipline. but it is a discipline. Seeking the Lord for the way forward. That verse I had at the beginning. Show me your ways, O Lord. Teach me your paths. Guide me in your truth and teach me. For you are God, my Saviour, and my hope is in you all day long. I want to just give you a few minutes just to think about things. And I'm going to give you one of the... It's got some study questions in this book. I'm going to give you one of them just to spend a couple of minutes just thinking about. I've just picked out. It said, if living in guidance comes about mainly through entering into a friendship with God so that we know his desire and his ways, what should you drop from your life and what should you add to your life in order to deepen your intimacy with Christ? I just want you just to spend a couple of minutes just thinking about that. What should you add and what should you drop from your life in order to get that closer relationship with Christ? And then I'll pray for us. Father God, we just thank you for the many different ways that you lead and guide us each and every day. Help us to be willing to submit to your will. Help us to be willing to give up our own thoughts and to move forward with you. Thank you that you give us the desires of our hearts. You know us so well that you long for a great and awesome relationship with each one of us, Lord, and we thank you so much for that. We thank you that you love us. We thank you that you care for us. We thank you that you have a big plan for each one of us. Lord, please lead and guide us in the way forward and help us to develop a discipline of spending time with you because it pleases you so much. And we thank you for that. So, Lord, in each of our hearts, I ask that you will help us to have that desire to spend time with you. You will show us what you want us to add to our lives, and you will show us what you want to take away. In Jesus' precious name, amen.